I'm Shirley Griffith.
And I'm Ray Freeman with the VOA Special English Program, People in America. Every week, we tell about someone important in the history of the United States. This week, we tell about Phyllis Wheatley, the first black female poet in the United States.
The girl who became known as Phyllis Wheatley was born about 1753 in Senegal, Africa. She was kidnapped and brought to the New England colonies in North America on a ship that carried slaves. The ship's name was Phyllis. The girl was between 7 and 8 years old. She was weak and sickly, so her price was not very high. She was sold in a slave market in the city of Boston, Massachusetts, in August 1761. John Wheatley, an international businessman, bought her to serve his wife, Susanna.
Phyllis came from a culture that was very different from that of the Wheatleys. She found the food, customs, and beliefs to be new and strange. The other slaves in the house taught her many things about America. Phyllis quickly learned the rules of slavery. She learned that slaves could not beat drums because slave owners feared that secret messages were being passed to slaves on other farms. She learned that in southern states, it was a crime to teach a slave to read and write.
In northern states in the 1700s, black slaves were treated better than they were in the southern states. Restrictions against the education of slaves were not as severe as they were in the south. Many of the slaves in New England were even urged to learn to read, especially the Bible, the major book of the Christian religion. Many people thought that slaves should read the Bible so they could become better believers of the Christian religion. In New England, blacks were free to meet with each other in groups. Many times, male slaves were accepted as members of the community for special projects. These included gatherings to clean corn or to build a farmhouse. Female slaves cooked for the groups.
From her earliest days as a slave, Phyllis was a happy, busy person. She liked to keep busy. She especially liked to do things with her hands. She quickly learned how to clean around the Wheatley house and how to dry the dishes. But her mind seemed to move even faster than her hands. She wanted to do everything. Phyllis's new family had unusual beliefs for the times. John Wheatley and his wife were educated people. Susanna Wheatley believed that all human beings, including African slaves, could learn if given the chance. She believed that all people of any skin color should love and respect each other. She treated Phyllis more as a daughter than as a slave. Mrs. Wheatley said, "You're my black child. You're my Phyllis." Susanna Wheatley soon recognized Phyllis's intelligence and desire to learn. Mrs. Wheatley observed how Phyllis loved books and the care she took with them. At times, Phyllis would smell the pages of the books and hold them close to her.
One day, one of the slaves in the Wheatley home found Phyllis writing on the wall of Mrs. Wheatley's room with a piece of coal. Phyllis had been cleaning the dust from a book. She decided to copy the letters from the cover of the book. The slave brought Mrs. Wheatley to inspect the marks on the wall. But Susanna Wheatley did not get angry. Instead, she smiled. Mrs. Wheatley gave Phyllis a pencil and paper and a little table on which to write. She showed the writing on the wall to her daughter, Mary. Mary was as surprised as her mother at how well Phyllis had copied the letters. Mary told Phyllis she would teach her to write on paper, not on walls.
Mary Wheatley began to teach Phyllis to read and write English. She also taught Phyllis the Christian religion. Phyllis learned quickly. She learned the English alphabet in a few weeks. In a year and one half after she arrived in America, Phyllis could read English. And she could read and understand difficult parts of the Bible. Phyllis loved to learn new words. She enjoyed the new feelings that went with the sounds. She especially liked writing and creating new ways of saying things.
Mary taught Phyllis about writings from other countries. America was a young nation. It had not yet produced writers and poets like older nations. So Phyllis studied the writings of European writers. She read the work of the Greek poet Homer, the English poets Keats and Pope, and the plays and poetry of Shakespeare. She read and reread the Bible. Phyllis was about 12 years old when she began to write poetry. One of her earliest poems was about her religious faith. It questioned how a person could not believe in God. Thou who dost daily feel his hand and rod, darest thou deny the essence of a God? If there's no heaven, ah, whither wilt thou go?
Phyllis Wheatley's first major work was an elegiac poem on the death of the celebrated divine. It was published in 1770. Phyllis wrote the long poem to honor a famous clergyman who had died. Phyllis wrote mostly about religion and morals. Many of her poems were created at the request of someone to honor a family member who had died. Her poems are representative of the times. They expressed common reactions to personal events, such as deaths or marriages, or they honored public events, such as battles.
Phyllis had an unusual life for a slave. Mrs. Wheatley had stopped having Phyllis do house cleaning jobs. She made sure Phyllis had time to study and to visit the family friends. But Phyllis was not permitted to make friends with other uneducated slaves. So she remained separate from both white and black worlds. While she was considered above the other black slaves, she was never considered an equal of white slave owners. One time she was invited to dinner in the home of one of Mrs. Wheatley's relations. The servants said that it was the first time they ever carried food to a woman with skin their color. But Phyllis usually sat at a table separate from the white people at a dinner party.
Phyllis Wheatley became famous in Europe as well as in America. She traveled to London in 1773 and gave poetry readings there. She was 20 years old. The writings of the young slave from Africa surprised everyone. During her visit in London, she was to have been presented to King George III. But she received urgent news from America. Mrs. Wheatley was very sick and had asked that Phyllis return to Boston. Phyllis returned home quickly. That meant she missed the publication in London of her book, poems on various subjects, religious and moral. It contained 38 of her poems. It was the first published book written by a black person in America, and it was only the second book written by an American woman. Newspapers in London highly praised her poems. Her book sold very well there and later in America.
Phyllis Wheatley had one more brief period of being famous. In 1775, she wrote a poem about George Washington. He had become commander of the colonial forces in the American Revolution. The poem was called His Excellency General Washington. It called Washington first in peace and honors. She sent her poem to him. Sometime later, she was invited to visit George Washington in his headquarters. It was an unusual visit between a black woman poet and a military commander.
Phyllis took care of Susanna during her long final sickness. When Mrs. Wheatley died in March 1774, Phyllis wrote that she had lost a friend and parent. After Susanna's death, Phyllis was freed by the Wheatley family, but her life became more difficult. She married John Peters, a free black man. He failed in many business attempts. Their three children died at a very young age. Phyllis tried to publish another book of her poems, but now that she was free, she had lost her appeal as a slave poet. Phyllis Wheatley died poor and alone in 1784. She was 31 years old. This special English program was written by Vivian Bornesian. It was produced by LaJuan Davis. I'm Ray Freeman.
And I'm Shirley Griffith. Join us again next week for another People in America program on the Voice of America.